Welcome into DC On Screen episode 419. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
Hiya. So we have decided to forego the intro music today because this is going to be something of a transitional episode. We have a big announcement. DC On Screen is going to change pretty drastically in some ways, and we wanted to give you guys a heads up. For a long time now, Jason and I have done two news episodes a week, one for film, one for television, and we've gotten pretty comprehensive with the news. In the on season, we've also done recaps and reviews for each individual live-action episode that's aired for Gotham, Lucifer, Supergirl, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow. Besides that, we of course did film reviews and animation reviews when we could. Now, behind the scenes, that equals roughly 60 hours a week of work between the two of us. And with the inclusion of Black Lightning, Krypton, and Titans, it's really only going to get hairier from there. And we've loved doing the show as is, but honestly, the stress has been mounting. Last year was spectacularly rough for us. Our personal and creative lives took a real hit. Our stress levels skyrocketed. We each toyed with emotional breakdowns, like seriously.
Mm-hmm. Like, toyed with medications. Saw doctors on occasion for various things.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't all due to the show, but the stress of the show was not helping. Mm. But and there's absolutely no way for us to keep the show going in the same format, much less with the added series. We've known for a while that we were going to have to sit down and figure out what was happening with the show this year. But what made us actually stop and make those decisions was a pretty big fight that we had before and after last week's, I guess not last week's, but the last, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. with the San Diego Comic-Con episodes. I'm sure, you know, the regular listeners know those were really weird episodes. I would probably refer to them as gruelingly terse. But, yeah. And we're pretty ashamed of that. Mm-hmm. But it's, look, I mean, Jason and I have maybe had two or three arguments over the years, like two or three, seriously, mm-hmm. that were anything more than playful. But I think this was, our first actual, like, verbal row.
Yeah.
It was really rough for a minute. But yeah, we're not proud of those episodes, and we're not proud of having let ourselves get to that point without talking. So, apologies to you guys for that. We've already said our apologies to each other, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like grown-ass men should. Mm-hmm. We're doing, yeah, and this is part of that. So what we're doing is this. We are going to be doing one news episode a week that covers the big news for film, television, etc. We're not trying to be comprehensive anymore. We want to talk about the stuff that we think is cool or interesting or hilarious. Or, you know, if it makes us angry, we'll talk about that too. Basically, being the audio rendition of a news ticker isn't what we set out to do originally. But that's kind of what it mostly became. And that mostly because of my OCD tendencies, I feel. But as always, we want to open it up to the listeners to ask us to talk about specific pieces of news as it interests you. If we missed something you thought was important, drop us a line and we'll get to it next time. Unfortunately, the individual episode reviews are now officially a thing of the past. We'll still have special season premiere reviews, and we'll probably either do season reviews or half season reviews. We still have a lot of details to work out.
Yeah.
Importantly, though, and this is what excites me the most about all of this, this is going to free us up to do a lot more fun stuff with, like, crossovers, whether the podcasts, standalone episodes, like the DC movies that never happen, which apparently people really enjoy, and, like, reviews of older series or films or animated properties. You know, I haven't even talked to you about this, but Eli Opelders of Stealing the Remote, I was talking to her, and she thought it might be a really good idea to do, or actually it was my idea, but seems down. Maybe doing like a fan casting of a Batman trilogy as a crossover with her. So, mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
And I look forward to all of that and whatever this show becomes in the future. And like I said, we're going to be working it out. And we love you guys for sticking with us through this weird transition. And I'm sorry if we're letting you down. I'm sure some people might feel a little betrayed. But we don't want you to feel that way.
No, but it just became completely unsustainable at this at this point. And part of it had to do with even the shows as they are. Even if they weren't adding shows, mm-hmm. they've just moved two shows to Thursday night, and me and Dave only have certain times during the week that we can record.
Yeah.
Even getting caught up on like Gotham and Arrow, if nothing else was changing, was still going to be really difficult to get worked in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as far as not being comprehensive on the news anymore, it was taking a lot of like so much time and energy to try to like suss out the clickbait from you know the real news, and it was just and you know. How much do you really care about what's on Jason Momoa's Snapchat every week?
Yeah.
yeah. It's not too much, but because I am who I am, I'm like, oh no, it's news. He was hitting another guy with a stick. but yeah, and you know, we always set up for this show to be. We always set out for it to be. To feel like a couple of friends sitting around talking about DC, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get back to that. More fun, more humor, more audience participation. Because we love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so also it's basically either this or we were going to burn out. Yeah. So look, we're doing a version of this new rendition of the show.
Format, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll be hitting up...
It really is mm-hmm. very similar to what we were doing when we first started, for anyone who has been around that long.
Yeah, it is. But, for those unaware, what's going to happen is we're going to do DC EU, the film news. We're going to do fan feedback for that. And then we're going to do DC TV news and fan feedback, if any, for that. And call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's jump in. Yeah. I to the DCEU news. Also, spoilers. If it's been released, if it's been out in the theater, we're going to talk about it. For anyone who hasn't seen Batman v Superman, I'm sorry. We're going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the film section.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our listeners has a question, but anyway, let's talk a little bit. You know, you had a birthday.
I did. I've aged.
you posted a picture of yourself pointing to a comic book that was the same age as you. What is that comic book?
It's an old World's Finest from July of 84.
Okay.
When now, we both came squirming into this world.
Squirming?
Mm. Sounds good.
Okay. Randy on Twitter, a number of people actually said happy birthday on social media. Randy on Twitter, RandySF45 says, happy birthday, Jason. You're making me feel old. I remember collecting DC comics in the late 70s, early 80s.
And it's pretty clear that that's that era's artwork on this thing.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to see in the picture. It was a little far away.
Yeah, it was. But it's like if they asked Salvador Dali to do a World's Finest cover for him, this is what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure it's pirate-themed, too. Okay.
You know what you should do? You should go over to like Second and Charles or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have like real the comic book frames for pretty cheap, and you should just frame it and hang it up somewhere. Because
yeah,
that's a cool cover.
I've got a few, and I actually added some more this weekend. But I'm gonna have to just go buy some wood and do this myself.
Oh man, I mean, like I said, Second and Charles, those frames, they're like 3 for $10, something like that.
No, oh, well then never mind.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just anyway. They come with glass and everything. It's awesome.
That's done deal. All right.
Absolutely. So, blah, 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 blah. They, iTunes released the pre-order. iTunes has Wonder Woman for pre-order. And they were saying that the digital, it's going to be digitally released August 29th. Amazon had, being the operative word, the physical Blu-ray for pre-order. Well, they still have it, but they had it listed for September 19th, but they've now been scrubbed it from their site. So,
gotcha.
I guess Warner Brothers was like, take that shit down.
Yeah.
That ain't official yet.
Yeah. Amazon's really got to watch it. They've been in trouble for that lately.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? It'll at least give you an idea. I've already got my Blu-ray of Wonder Woman pre-ordered. Yeah. By the way, did you happen to see the... I know you don't really usually follow this stuff, but the Best Buy steelbook cover for Wonder Woman, did you see that?
Mm.
Out of all of the magnificent posters that Clay Enos like shot for that movie, they did some kind of a weird, like, out of proportion, shitty drawing for the steelbook. It was just terrible.
Awesome.
So much so that even Scott from the Squadcast was like, from Suicide Squadcast was like, no, I've canceled my steelbook order. And like, he digs on the steelbooks hard, but he was like, no, this is awful.
Wasn't having it. That's fantastic.
I was like, how did you even figure, what's happening? How could you make that cover? Anyway. Did you see the video of Ray Fisher and Ezra Miller reacting to their first action figures?
No, I heard about it, but I hadn't seen that one yet.
Dude, Ezra Miller looks like he's gonna cry.
I don't doubt it. He is so excited.
Like, he took it out of the box and he's staring at it and he's just like heavily breathing, like trying to control his breathing.
That's great.
It's kind of adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I would totally do that.
Yeah. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said that the new Justice League poster looked like it was like an Alex Ross painting?
Yeah,
Clay Enos confirmed it. He confirmed that he was inspired by that specific Alex Ross painting.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know,
called it.
I called it. That's right.
I actually did just turn on the Ezra Miller thing, and it's yeah, he could definitely cry. Fisher looks excited, but like he's got it together. Like,
yeah, Fisher's too so busy. Like, I don't know, pimping that little tagline of his. Like, he's pointing at his figure and going, "That's what that Borg life is." And I'm like, "Dude, calm your shit. Stop screaming about Borg life all the time."
Yeah, it's in a Star Trek episode.
Right. So they released the new Justice League feature trailer, which is really just the San Diego Comic-Con trailer cut short with like one extra line that I can tell.
I assume they just cut it down to like TV length.
No, they just cut it down to like 2.5 minutes for like feature length, mm-hmm. You know, like so they can show it in the trailers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they can show it in the theaters. But they added this line of, it's been reported that it was Aquaman. I couldn't tell who it was by listening to it, but the voice says, "This is crazy, fighting the devil and his army in hell." That's, you know, I dig that.
Yeah, sounds good.
I dig that. Sounds cool. They've also, like, released, they have released a ton of promotional stuff that I'm not going to get into here.
Mm-hmm.
They've put out like pictures of like different posters and like mugs and t-shirts and stuff and like action figures, and should be no surprise that I want all of it.
Yeah, the swag train is rolling full steam now.
Yeah, and I'm already out of room.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that Wonder Woman 2 has a release date.
Yeah,
they're saying it's December 13th, 2019, which is weird. I would think that would be more of a summer release.
I don't remember what they had going during the summer.
Yeah.
Surely they got something planned for the summer. I assume, though, that they could pretty much put it wherever they wanted. I mean, Wonder Woman 2 is such a guaranteed sell. I don't think they're really, like, worried about who they're up against any given weekend.
They should be. I mean, Wonder Woman 2 is fine, but December of 2019, what is that, the Han Solo movie?
Well, if they ever make that, yeah.
Well, I mean, Ron Howard's making it.
We'll see if Opie can save it, but... Now, this is what they got. It's Shazam's going to be their April release. That's what they're betting on. Currently, it's supposed to be their April release. So.
Yeah. It feels like it's, like, opposite of what Marvel's does, you know? Where, like, they're like, hey, here's a thing, whatever we're introducing is going to be in August, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when it blows up, as it always does, like, they'll be like, all right, well, the sequel's going to be in May. And we'll introduce a new thing in August. I don't know. Or whatever it is. I don't know the Marvel schedule. I don't know why I acted like I did. I thought I had a remembrance of it, and then I was like, wait,
plan there for a second.
Well, yeah, but then like I'm like Thor is usually in November, so maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's different. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Whatever. David F. Sandberg, the guy that is directing Shazam,
mm-hmm.
Had some interesting stuff to say. There's a few interesting things with him. He says about what to expect. He said, "I think this will be one of the more fun or lighthearted movies so far in the DC universe. It certainly will be a departure. The big attraction for me with that character is the fact that every kid dreams of being Superman. I mean, I certainly did. And Billy is a kid that gets that chance. He gets to become the superhero. So it'll be big with superpowers in a way." I love that concept.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, full disclosure, I'm not the biggest Shazam fan. I really don't care too much. Unless they, you know, really hit it up in a fun way. I'm not that huge of a fan. That being said, the last, like, several times I've seen the character, he's been done in a really fun way. Right. So I've liked him. But it's easy. What I'm saying is it's easy to screw him up.
Sure. And you got to really commit to the premise on him. You can't. I don't think you can kind of half-ass it.
Yeah, I don't want to be sitting there listening to that wizard talk, you know, for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But, yeah. but yeah, this guy seems to have a really good sense of humor. He tweeted, like, he was trolling fans. He's been trolling fans with a lot of different things, but he trolled fans with a fake Shazam script.
It was hilarious.
It was pretty good. Like,
I encourage you to take the 5 minutes to check that thing out, but it was like Superman shows up, And you know, Billy Batson's all like, "Hold my beer, Tony." You know,
he's like,
"This bitch."
This bitch again. Yeah.
So he gives Tony the Tiger his beer, tries to have a standoff with him.
And Superman puts on his glasses. He's like, "Oh, where does Superman go?
Doc, did you see where Superman went?" And then I don't know, something about he goes around to the back of him like a coward and hits him in the back or something like that. It's just real stupid, man. But it made me laugh a couple times. My favorite part though is at the end, after kicking him in the back like a coward, as it says, he's like, you just have this like mustache twirling, you know, kind of like out of Superman.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
And he put down, like, when he tweeted it, was like, "Oh, God, this last draft is just perfect. We're getting, you know, do it out there."
Yeah.
What? How many people do you think actually read that and went, "Oh, no"? You know?
I wonder. There seems to be a lot of people online who don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people noticed that there wasn't a mention of a Nightwing at the San Diego Comic-Con. It wasn't on the slate. And Chris McKay defended it on Twitter. He says, "I've turned down films because they were backed into a release date that made it difficult to make a great film. This isn't going to be like that. I want this movie to blow you away. We need time to get it right." Can't argue with that.
No. I get the villain if they do the, and they've tried to do this before, and thankfully it doesn't happen as often, but you get all the production going, but you've already got the toy line worked out before you've even got a script. And you get the feeling that if they bring Chris McKay the toys and say, "This is what we're going to have in the movie. This is what we're going to sell off the back of the movie." He's just going to, like, grab a garbage can and just burn them in front of him.
He might. Or he might make an entire amazing movie out of those toys.
He might. I just get the feeling he's not going to put up with that crap.
Yeah. No. All right. So we got a little feedback.
I call that the Shoemaker lesson. Or the Schumacher lesson.
Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Yeah. All right. So, In our feedback section for the film news, Travis Langston, sorry, Langston Travis, always want to switch that up, said, "My guess is Flashpoint is the reason why Justice League 2 was stalled. If the recent reports are accurate, it's basically Justice League 2. Well, I will say this, the reports that I've read are pretty much all conjecture from Mark Hughes at Forbes. That's what I read. I might be wrong. I didn't dig too deeply into it. I've seen a lot of people reporting that Wonder Woman is officially part of Flashpoint. Nope, that was conjecture.
Yeah.
Based on the comic.
Yeah.
I mean, fingers crossed. I think it's an absolutely great idea.
There's room for everybody in that story.
Yeah, I hope they get really close to doing, you know, Flashpoint right, or, you know, at the very least, well.
Yeah.
And close to the comic book material. But I mean, maybe it's Justice League 2. Maybe I don't think it's. I think it's going to be Flash at the center of a DC Universe movie, and I would love to see Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne. I would love to see all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's fair to say it's basically Justice League 2, or that's why it was stalled. I think they've got a lot of stuff on their plate. And a lot of stuff to get to. We don't necessarily need another Justice League movie right away either, do we?
Not right away, no.
I mean, let them fill out the roster a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised this one's as early as it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really that early. It's only like one movie shy of what Marvel did with the Avengers, you know?
I know. They just, I guess we've got a whole team in there, but some of the team is like getting added during the movie, and which is mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. It's a fine way to do it if you do it right.
By the way, all that Justice League promo stuff, like, every bit of it looked like it had Superman in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even shying away from that anymore.
No. I do like that they haven't actually revealed anything. They're just kind of like, yeah, we all know, and here's some merch, and you should buy it.
Right.
But hopefully they learned the lesson of, like, as a consumer, I want to know the exact, format in which we are going to get Superman back somewhere during the process of seeing that movie and not a second before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not 1 second before.
All right, so Nerdytastic on Twitter says, I will believe there's a Flash movie the moment I'm sitting in my seat to watch it, and not a second before.
I wholeheartedly support you. I think that is an entirely prudent way to go about it. Makes sense to me, man.
All right, so we have a voicemail from Justin Miramon. He's got a couple of questions for us, so let's go ahead and cut to that.
Hey guys, Justin Miramon. I wanted to thank y'all for responding to my Dark Knight Rises email. That was cool. And I was hoping y'all could help me with something. Batman v Superman. I wanted to love the movie. I think I did. I think I loved it. But here's the thing. My Batman is the animated series Batman. For better or for worse, I'm pretty sure the better. And no one ever got anything over his head. He was a genius in that show, and in most of the comics I've read, I just can't think of a time where he was bamboozled. He was always like a deus ex machina of Batman, always knew the score. And at the end, you know, it was this big reveal where, you know, he knew what was going on, and he stopped it quietly. The rest of the Justice League never even had a clue, but Batman was, you know, somewhere in the dark fixing things that they didn't even know were broken. And in Batman v Superman, my biggest issue that I can't seem to stop struggling with is that Baby Lex pulled the wool over his eyes so easily with what went on. And I just didn't feel like he had the level of intelligence that I would have to imagine old man Batman would have. So maybe you guys can, you know, help me with this. Make me feel better, because I want to just love this movie completely. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'd like from y'all. All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, Justin, man, thank you for writing in. Do you have any initial thoughts on his dilemma here?
No,
Jason?
I was hoping you'd have more specifics. My take on it's more that it's for this version, for a movie universe like this, I don't think they can have the infallible bat. He's mm-hmm. He's got to need this team, is kind of why I don't mind it. I like the idea that he kind of gets into the Justice League and really hones his skills, like, at that point. I mean, you know, in the Justice League trailer, like, you made that Alfred's little joke about, you know, oh, doesn't it make one long for the days of wind-up penguins or whatever?
Yeah, wind-up exploding penguins, yeah. Something of that nature.
So I'm okay with this guy, even at his age, still learning his lesson. And it wasn't a short-form prank. This was years and years and years of, admittedly, possibly too much contrived plotting. But
mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, my suggestion would be that, you know, the movie, it has to be there for movie purposes. But I was hoping mm-hmm. you'd have more specifics about, like, the comparison to BTAS.
Well, like, okay, in BTAS, like, and Justin, dude, that is my Batman.
Yeah,
all
totally
day
feel
long.
Totally feel you.
All day long, that is my Batman. But he was not, like, he was not infallible. Like, he, like, okay, One of my favorite episodes, Perchance to Dream, duped the entire episode by the Mad Hatter, running around inside of a dream. He knew something was wrong, but, I mean, he was pretty... Like, he thought he was going nuts.
Yeah.
I've got Batman in my basement. He needed some kids to help him get pills, so he wasn't, like... he wasn't duped there, but he was certainly taken down a few notches.
Yeah, he wasn't prime form. And that episode takes a lot of heat for that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily but, for that. You know, it takes a lot of heat in general.
As far as needing kids to help, you know, in TAS, they also had the first Riddler episode. Like, Robin knew all about the Minotaur maze.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce didn't know anything about it. It was just a video game for kids. He underestimated it. Once they were actually in the life-size version of it, like, Batman was about to pick the wrong thing, and Robin was like, nope, if you pick that, it'll be three blades. Like, Robin knew stuff that Batman didn't know.
Yeah.
So...
Which reminded me of, like, the 66 series, where, you know, we all remember different things about that. But what cracked me up watching it through last year when I did was, man, Robin seems to be the one that solves all the puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one working through most of the
Riddler stuff. And Batman always goes, like... Yeah, and Batman always goes, right.
Yeah. It's either that, like, Batman had no idea and Robin just works it out, and then he goes, good boy, you know, good work, old chum. Right. Or it's like he knew it so hard that he was just kind of waiting for Robin to get through it with him, you know, teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Just coaching him.
But, you know, and the great thing about TAS, though, is that they wrote it to where, like, Batman and Robin worked together. There were things that Robin didn't get that Batman figured out, and vice versa. Otherwise, you're just going, why is Robin there?
Yeah. Why does he just insist on putting this kid in danger?
Now, the cool thing, though, is... A House and Garden. I thought of that one, too. Like, Poison Ivy duped Batman the entire freaking episode. Mm-hmm. Like, he really started to think that she was, like, legit until Robin mentioned that, like, oh, you know, Chris and Kelly are girls. What?
Yeah. Yeah, he was starting to finally starting to fall for it, I guess.
Oh, what was the episode? I can't remember what it's called. Jimmy the Jazz Man's in it, and he, like, Batman is, like, hung up at Crime Alley, you know, talking to Leslie Tompkins, and he's late to that big bust, and Gordon gets shot by Jimmy the Jazz Man. Mm-hmm. Batman screwed the pooch on that one. There's a lot of TAS episodes where Batman screws up.
So you can let yourself off the hook about that a little bit if you want to.
Yeah, and okay, and if you really want, like I said, love BTS. And the really cool thing about it is, if you look at the first bit of BTS, he gets better as he goes. So by the time he's in Justice League, yeah, he is kind of like, I know everything. But he's also slowly been experiencing all these things and coming to terms with all these different new realities, you know, like, oh yeah, magic is a thing. Oh yeah, aliens are a thing. Yeah. Oh no, and he's honed his craft.
I like to think that he did a certain amount of research and you know, behind the scenes tinkering and planning before, when it was just, you know, him and his gallery. I like to think, though, that when he gets in the league, he kind of sees whole worlds and dimensions of possibilities and goes, yeah, I'm going to need to do more homework.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you start getting a guy that's prepared for everything.
We saw him do, you know, detective work to some degree in BVS, but he's not a Batman we've really seen on screen before. Like, not really. He's a broken version of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of wonder, I mean, yes, to some degree, Lex did dupe him, and he did, but, you know, would Bruce have cared? Or was he just, like, looking for a reason, like, you know, to take down Superman? Like, he tells Alfred, like, if there's, you know, a 1% chance that, yeah, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
Yeah, well,
he can destroy the entire world.
That's the brilliance of Lex's plan, it uses that against him. He's telling him the thing that he wanted to hear most in the world.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, even if Batman knew that Lex was somehow manipulating him,
he might have just rolled with it anyway.
I think he would still be like, yeah, but is he wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm going to. That's what I'm going to say. You know, I don't know.
Let us know if it helped.
Yeah.
I hope you can enjoy this movie as much as you actually want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you might as well, because there's so many other people that were displeased with it. You know, those of us who liked it should dig in.
Yeah. All right, so we've got one more voicemail for this film episode. I don't know what the hell is happening.
Mm-mm. It's become increasingly unclear.
It appears that the old widder woman has another widder friend,
mm-hmm.
and they're on some sort of a party line. And I'll admit, I listened to it and I laughed at least 3 times while listening to it, like out loud by myself. But here now, the old widder women.
Bartle, are you there? Well, hello. What was that? Who was that old feller talking?
Who's that on our party line?
We got this party line, and I got this old rotary dial phone, and I got arthritis in my finger, and I can't hardly dial.
Did you take your rheumatiz meds?
Well, I did, but it's already past my bed.
Why, it caused me to sold my drawers when I think.
They said that old rheumatism medicine has that old alcohol.
It's the devil's drink.
It is. It must be. But it makes me feel better.
Wait, but those fellers were talking about that Green Lantern, and I wondered if it was one of them fellers holding the lantern out on their front porch.
Well, who are them fellers on the telephone?
I don't know.
I hope they ain't listening to
me. Get off our party line, you bastard.
That's right. Because old Cletus might get mad.
Well, but Cletus only 3 feet tall, so he ain't going to do nothing.
I know, but he kind of gets jealous.
Well, all right, well, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Okay.
You have a good night.
Thank you.
Go to church in the morning now.
I will. I'll pray for your immortal
soul. So, you don't have that old snake handler
right.
tomorrow.
Well, that'd be good.
All right, I'm going to sit right in the back.
Why, I'll eat me a ham sandwich before I go.
Hello?
What's your take on the old widder women, Jason?
Oh, it's good to hear about her diet. I have so much trouble physically understanding what's happening with these things most of the time that by the end of it, I'm like, I heard ham sandwich. I'm sure of that. And I think they're going to a snake church.
They gotta get their rheumatism medicine.
Yeah, the rheumatism medicine.
What was the thing about the guy that was 3 feet tall who wasn't going to do nothing to nobody? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know what's happening anymore. They sent us another one, but we'll get to that next week.
Gotcha.
We can only do one widder women or widder woman voicemail per week.
That sounds weird.
I can't do more than that. I'm sorry, widder women.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for the film news. If you guys are going to stick around, that's awesome. But for those people who aren't sticking around, please go check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, DC On Screen. You can find us all those places. If you want to send us a voicemail and be like the old widder woman,
mm-hmm.
You can call us at 205-259-6331, and we'll play you on the air. Now let's get into some DC TV news. Seems to be kind of there was a lot, and there was a lot that was just kind of not worth talking about. But what did you make of the Riddler to have an identity crisis in Gotham season 4?
He's going to have to. I mean, I did like where they're going to take it, because what they're doing is, it sounds like once he comes out of the ice, he's going to be
pretty
average,
mentally challenged.
I couldn't tell if they were going to make it challenged or if they were going to cap him at average. But he's definitely not going to be, super smart anymore. I don't know what they'll do with that. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, he seems excited about it because he gets to explore another version of the character. I did like, I forgot his name at the moment, but him talking about he's like, man, I got to play the real Riddler for like a couple episodes. It was great.
Yeah, he's like, I got so close.
Yeah. So whatever they're going to do, it's not going to be, the Riddler proper anymore. They may just ditch.
No.
They may ditch that entirely.
Maybe.
For now.
I don't know. I'll tell you what pissed me off, though. Erin Richards was talking about, well, they asked her if, like, Batgirl might be brought onto the show, and I don't think Erin Richards, based on everything I've read, I don't believe Erin Richards realizes that her character is not supposed to be Batgirl.
Yeah, her name's Barbara, so she's just going with it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she believes that she's supposed to be Batgirl according to the comics. But they asked her if Batgirl being brought on was impossible. She said, "I don't think so." She says, "I think it's still possible. I think this version of Barbara that we'll see will actually be the most surprising to Jim as a development. I think he might be taken aback by how she's turned out, and not necessarily in a bad way." So, I mean, if you didn't know, I mean, she's going to be back. She's not dead. We had high hopes, but she's still around. And I was afraid of this. I was thinking about this earlier this week, I guess. I was like, you know, I bet they'll, like, use that electrocution as, like...
A reset button?
Intense electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
And she'll, like, come back and she'll be, like, I don't know, all nice and stuff again. Mm-hmm. I don't know, cured by some stretch or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It won't be breaking precedent. The show has no idea how mental health works in general. It's the same show that 2 years ago was handing out certificates of wellness. Like, I have a piece of paper. It says I'm sane now, so I don't have to go to jail.
Right.
Even though I murdered several people.
Well, that's something the comics have always done.
I know.
To some degree.
I know. But that it's, you know, there's mentioning it, and then there's employing the device, and then there's literally showing us on screen a certificate, a signed certificate.
Right.
That's leaning on it. Yeah. Oh, well.
So the producers of Gotham talked a little bit about how they're going to have Bruce running around with, like, basically like a utility belt and gadgets and stuff. Like, he's going to be a little proto-Batman.
Little proto-bat.
And, of course, because they have no... they're just all about trying to excite fans, and they have no respect. They started bringing up Year One and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to be like Year One. Just calm the hell down. You're not going to be like Year One. This is not Year One.
Yeah, I'm curious about what they think they're going to take from it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't necessarily believe them.
Yeah. But it's a short enough book. Yeah. They probably, you know, at least they read it.
Right. Well, I don't know about that either.
Yeah.
See, so you sent me a story about why Laura Benanti isn't returning to Supergirl. You know, she had put out a tweet saying it was because being a mom is more important, but then it turns out she's been promoted to series regular on another show.
Yeah. Yeah. I laughed when I saw that. Oh, I think I know the whole picture now. Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, well. So that's what's happening there. She's going to be on the Detour. Hopefully doing a better job than she did on Supergirl.
Mm, I know she can act.
Yeah. I've seen her act and do well. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Now we're
going
to see what, what's her name? Lois Lane.
Erica Durance.
Thank you. Now we're going to see what she can do.
Yeah. I mean, I already know what she can do. Be probably the best damn live-action Lois Lane I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I could get down with that.
You know, it was, like, and we haven't talked about Smallville. We're going to talk about it soon.
Yeah, real soon.
But, you know what? I did not think they could cast a Lois Lane on Smallville. That made me feel like, you know what? I'm glad Chloe and Clark didn't wind up together.
It took her years to grow me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they kind of kept slipping her in just a little at a time.
Yeah.
Until she was, like, main cast member.
Yeah. And, you know, just Chloe was so important to me that that's kind of what was going on, too. I didn't want her to get in the way of what was going on with that, but...
No. Yeah. There was also that thing, though, with Chloe where it was, like, where they were... I think they did it on purpose, where it was, like, they were trying to wean me off of the idea of Chloe
mm-hmm.
by annoying me with her. Like, they... Like, I felt like every time Clark was hanging out with any other girl, like, she would just kind of give that, like, they would, like, cut to the close-up of her, like, looking sad. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shut up. It's been, like, 6 years.
With the you just kicked my puppy look.
Yeah. I'm like, it's been, like, forever. Stop freaking out about this. Stop being sad all the time, Chloe.
Right. I know.
Clark will never like you. I don't know why, but Clark will never like you. Anyway.
Never got it either. But we'll get on to that.
Yeah. Always so much more interesting than Lana. Anyway.
Yeah.
Apparently, in a big bummer of news, Tom Felton is not returning as a series regular on The Flash. There's no plan on him returning, apparently.
Not currently. that sometimes that just means they haven't worked out the deal yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to see what that amounts to, because we could, you know,
maybe he's the real thinker.
Yeah, that'll do it. And he,
like, what if, like, because they cast the thinker, and I don't remember who it was.
Mm-mm.
I didn't really care because I didn't know the person. But, you know, in the same way, they're like, hey, Zoom is, you know, Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, nope, now Zoom is Teddy Sears. You know, maybe that's what it is. Like, they're like, hey, look at it's the thinker. And then, like, at the end, it's like, surprise, it's Tom Felton.
Yeah, that could. I feel like we're going to see maybe another headline in a few weeks. It's like, Tom Felton to be a regular on Workaholics or some crap like that.
I think Workaholics is ending.
Yeah. Tom Felton will be joining Silicon Valley.
So, Grant Gustin has been saying and teasing this, and then, like, some behind-the-scenes pictures showed up online of Flash's new suit. It's not really a new suit. It's basically his 2024 suit, like, from Flash Forward episode. Yeah. Or when he, like, goes to the future, you know?
Yeah.
So it looks a little more like the comic book Flash suit, but, you know, if you just showed it to me and said, hey, what do you think of the new suit? I'd be like, it looks the same to me, but I'm not observant. Put them side by side and I'll know the difference.
I mean, I can tell you the difference, but I don't know I don't know costumes well enough to, like, I can't do that. I have to have, someone has to point it out to me and go, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, he's more red.
Yeah.
He's more like traditional red. He's got a little more gold, like the gold lightning on the suit. He's got like the gold lightning belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there. It's legitimate. I'm not. I would have, if no one had brought it up, I would have been like,
yeah. This is where I need
just
the
like the
to
Flash
things
to me.
In for me sometimes.
Now this is really exciting to me. They cast Hartley Sawyer, and I don't know who that cat is, but he looks the role. They cast him as the elongated man, freaking Ralph Dibny.
Mm-hmm.
I am super excited about that.
He looks right. I don't know his history. I don't know where he comes from, but
yeah. I don't know. Whatever the article was said, but it wasn't a thing I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he looks right. I don't know why. I'm just really excited about that. I've always liked Ralph Dibny. I wonder if Sue is going to be around. Apparently they are going to, like, really dig into him being the private investigator that's helping them solve a mystery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Elongated Man, you know, was in the actual Flash comic, you know, many years ago. So, I dig it. I dig it, and I...
Something that might be nice, though, is they're, you know, the team investigates things, but they don't... It's they don't so much have investigations as they just have, like, constant breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea of needing someone who focuses on an investigation kind of coming in and out of the story this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if he'll only be on one episode or what.
It says recurring.
See any mention?
I had seen recurring.
Did you see recurring? Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's right in front of my face. I'm an idiot. It's right there. Recurring role.
That was in the casting call, I think, too. It was supposed to be a recurring role.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an idiot. This new format has made me lazy. That's exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it won't be like a Tom Felton recurring, where it's like next season we'll just never see him again.
Yeah.
Or they'll, like, make him boring and stick him on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it might happen that way, too.
All right, so speaking of which, Gorilla Grodd is going to be coming to Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Guggenheim said, jokingly said that, he works for bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I thought was, Grodd hate banana.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And apparently he's going to have, like, a super team or something, but, and Guggenheim said, like, yeah, I won't tell you what the team's name is, but we'll try to work it in, like, Legion of Doom if we have a way.
Yeah, if they can squeeze it into the episode somehow. I mean, it's, you know, likely to be the Secret Society, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Damian Dark's coming back, and it's going to be, like, post-dead Damian Dark from Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm just not at all interested in seeing. I really I liked Damian Dark, but I really just would rather him not be around anymore.
The only thing that had me excited about it, really, is somewhere it was mentioned that, I forget who said it, but they said it was going to be fun Damien again. Mm. And I really did, like, first half of season four, he was a lot of fun. He enjoyed being evil, and that was good.
Yeah.
He started taking himself too seriously, and he was overpowered at some point later in the game. It just wasn't worth it anymore.
Yeah. So, Guggenheim was talking about how they already have a shape for season 7 of Arrow. And he says it's the earliest they've ever had an idea for a season that far ahead. And it's come out of their conversations about season 6. I think that's interesting. I'm a little afraid. Like, usually when shows plan that far ahead, they get married to an idea that they have. And then they, like, don't allow the show to be written organically. Like, they don't let it... There's a lot of times you'll write something and then it like looks different than what you wrote.
Yeah, or just the, when it's the actually response being acted. Is just not there for it or something or
the,
like that.
Yeah, the response isn't there for it. And then, you know, and a perfect example of that is spoilers if you haven't seen How I Met Your Mother. You know what, I won't even spoil it, but they had a very specific idea in mind for the ending and they shot it with the two kids, you know, who react and everything to the story. Mm-hmm. In like season 2, they shot those reactions, but by the time they had no idea the show was going to last 9 seasons, so by the time they get to the 9th season, they're still like so enamored with their original concept, their original ending, that they still did it, but it just didn't make any sense for the characters at that point.
Yeah.
Like, so much of it was just not right. It actually made them in the last episode regress like 2 or 3 of the main characters in a way that seemed
forced.
Forced and just completely unrealistic. So it just undid like 3 or 4 seasons worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not saying that they'll do that, but I always kind of worry when they're like, oh yeah, we've got like a thing in mind for the next season. I'm like, you haven't even done this one.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not so much like a, like you're saying, that's like a scene and it didn't make sense by then. I'm hoping this is only next year that they're talking about. I'm hoping it's kind of just a concept, like where they want the team to be. Yeah. By, you know,
but, you know,
701.
But, you know, you consider how often Guggenheim and Miracle will make a statement about what's about to happen on Arrow. And you know what? Kreisberg does it, and Helbig don't even do this too much. But it's always Miracle and Guggenheim to do this shit specifically.
They're the ones
where
that
they'll
stand
be
up.
Like, oh, we're going to do this. And we think it's going to do this. And blah, blah, blah. And they have these, like, kind of, like, bold statements of vagueness, but very like,
yeah,
like, you know, when it doesn't pan out, if you think back on it, because like you, and sure enough, like, you know, they're into 5 episodes and they've already been like, well, that didn't really pan out. We're not doing that. It didn't really happen. So I don't know.
On the
bright
side, it means
really
they do enough press that you do get to look somewhat inside the room, but, not always the most efficient use of your time.
Yeah. So David Ramsey said, the actor that plays Diggle said that they'll be, going back into the Lila controversy, their relationship problems about her being the new Amanda Waller. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, we're like 2 seasons into that shit. I thought it was too much last year when they did it, and I thought they wrapped it up pretty well. Because, you know, as we stated in numerous times in our reviews and stuff, I mean, Diggle had his brother in a black site. Like, Diggle tortured him. Diggle basically is Lila.
Yeah.
What is the issue, dude?
They just never quite worked it out, I guess. But
yeah, well, David Ramsey's saying that he doesn't like what she does, and they're going to get back into that. And I am just bummed about that. I don't want to see any more of that.
Yeah. I get the feeling he's going to have too much time on his hands. Because from the previous press, it looks like he's going to be one of the people that comes out pretty heavily injured.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny. Willa Holland was doing this thing where she was like, well, this is what Thea's focus is going to be for the next season, if I survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where she just kept kind of bringing up like things, like story, you know, like ideas for the character, but then being like, I mean, if I'm still there. I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. I really do wish, like, on ones like this, though, I wish they would just all get these glorious, like, this is what we're going to do with the character, really exciting stories, and then turns out they're dead, and then, like, you go talk to them later and go, oh, it was just all a lie. I was dead. I was going to be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, really go for it. Like, really go for the prank here.
For like SDCC, for any of the like promotional stuff, it should literally just be Oliver and William.
Yeah.
Sitting there.
Yeah, that'd work.
Oh, and they should have Josh Segura sitting there too, but with a bullet hole in his head, mm-hmm. just laying there.
Just laying on the floor.
like Josh, what do you think?
The closest I've seen him do was like the other. I think I mentioned this the other week, though. Like one of the TV line interviews, the guy asked him, like, "So who's here just for show right now?" And they all raised their hand. I'm like, okay, that's good.
Uh huh.
That was something, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I don't really have much to say about this, but I thought it was kind of cool to note that Titans has actually started casting. Mm-hmm. They cast Tegan Croft as Raven. I don't know her body of work.
I don't think there's much of one. I looked up her IMDb. It's pretty sparse so far.
Yeah. Pretty girl, though.
Mm-hmm. Looks.
I don't know that I've ever seen much of Raven's face.
Yeah, she's always very, got that very hood. But...
So, you know, I like the character of Raven. I hope they do her well
mm-hmm.
in this show. Mm-hmm. Exciting news, Batman versus Two-Face gets a release date. Best Buy has it listed as October 17th, so you can bet I'll be buying that. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, Adam West's last portrayal of Batman, and William Shatner's portrayal of Two-Face.
That's going to be good.
It should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
It'll probably, what do you think, they'll probably get a... theatrical release for that one?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Was it necessarily Fathom?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the Fathom.
That's
if there might be.
They I mean, when they announced it, for instance, for Batman Harley Quinn, but I mean, that comes out in like a week, and they only announced it a few weeks ago. So
yeah. So Al Granite and Sam Aconda on Twitter. Well, first, Al Granite said he missed us. He wants us to hurry back. We're back. he said, maybe you can talk, when you come back, you can talk a little bit about this. And, he linked us to Kevin Conroy doing Christian Bale's lines on the Talking Tunes Nerdist podcast mm-hmm. with Rob Paulson. Did you get a chance to see
thing? I did. It was so much better.
It was to some degree, but, I was talking to Eli Offelders, and I said, you know, if anything, it just points out how freaking much Christian Bale's Batman talked, because I'm pretty sure that's the most I've ever heard Kevin Conroy do the character in one conversation. Yeah. I was like, gosh, Kevin Conroy, stop. It's not Batman anymore. Yeah. He's talking too much. It's like all these, like, all this flowery, like, idyllic speech, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, he didn't, he didn't philosophize too often back in.
No.
Not a lot of opining out of the bat.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I always think of when I think of, like, the proper portrayal of Batman is that scene from the animated series where, I think it's from Robin's Reckoning, where they're sitting on the roof, you know? Mm-hmm. And, Batman's standing, Robin's sitting, and he's like, if I'd known it was going to take this long, I would have brought my homework. And he's just, like, chatting to Batman, and Batman's just sitting there with his binoculars, standing there with his binoculars. Mm-hmm. And Robin's just so aggravated.
Used to, like, a one-sided conversation, I think, that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to think that's how, you know, by the time he's, you know, Robin, older age Robin and Nightwing, he's usually his dialogue is, he's very talkative, you know, and I'd like to think that's why. It's just he spent so much years having to carry both ends of the conversation.
Yeah. Or the, what was it, the, oh gosh, what episode? Night of the Ninja or something, with Kyurekin. The old ninja who came back to take down Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that great scene where Robin basically saves him, and, Batman just skulks away, and Robin just stares at him for a second. He's like, oh, thanks for saving... He even does the affectation. He's like, thanks for saving my bacon, Robin. Hey, no problem, Batman. I just feel like Batman should be way more quiet.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see him doing the Christian Bale lines. I always enjoy stuff like that, like hearing different versions of... there's a guy on YouTube that did... he basically does a fantastic imitation of Hamill's Joker, and he took this like all the Nicholson scenes of the Joker from 89 and overdubbed them, and it's just fantastic. So I enjoy seeing all this that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Moving on. Bruce Timm was talking about the possibility of doing more Batman animated series movies, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he was like, if Batman and Harley Quinn does really, really well, the home video people will say, yeah, let's do some more in that classic style. I've heard some really bad reviews, though, about this thing.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews. We're gonna have to kind of wait that out.
Yeah, I don't know. He also said he wasn't sure if it was in the animated series timeline or universe or whatever. He said that was the intention, but then, you know, he wasn't really sure. Maybe it's just headcanon.
Yeah, I mean, that series kind of bounced around a little bit anyway. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily move completely linearly, so...
Yeah.
It's not like it went back and forth in time. It's just that it didn't carry, like, season-long arcs for the most part, and... yeah, pretty episodic. You could just kind of squeeze this in anywhere if you wanted to and call it part of the day.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's all I've got, man. Do you have anything else?
Wanted to see what you thought about this. Did you see they moved, they're going to move Arrow for one night?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I had a computer freeze, I had put that in, and I forgot, and it apparently didn't save. I knew there was stuff that didn't save, so I apologize. Yeah, I'm sure there's something else I wanted to talk about that I missed, but I thought that was really cool. It's going to be like a two-night event. It's going to be Supergirl and Arrow, and then Tuesday night's going to be Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. I'm fully behind that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, and the funny part is the I think it was the CW president. I think it was Mark Berkowitz, I want to say. I think
Pedowitz.
Thank you. I think that was the guy that they were quoting, but he basically said it's kind of funny. He basically said, like, we talked to marketing. And they think it'd be a good idea to try it this way. So, and then he kind of said, like, look, who knows? Next year it could be four nights and take up the whole week. We don't know, but we're going to try it this way. Okay, fair enough.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing it hit me though was I remember several weeks ago Stephen Amell saying that he was going to be glad to anchor the crossover, like, and you know, talking about him moving to Thursday nights now.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been he'd have still anchored it on Wednesday, but
yeah.
I wondered if he was going to be a little bummed about that. And see, the thing is, I think this probably works out better because, like, the ending of last year's crossover is probably one of the best Legends episodes they'll ever make.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the bookending it with Legends like that makes more sense. And you know, with Arrow last year, they kind of did this a little bit of a bottle episode.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes sense to me.
It's going to be November 27th and 28th.
Mm-hmm. The only thing they swear by, and they're almost every time I've heard anybody talk about the crossover, they almost go out of their way to mention, and it's going to be all four shows, I promise. Like, we're not doing the thing we did to you last year with Supergirl.
Right. well, there were so many people complaining about that. I didn't mind it.
I did mind that one, actually. I mean, I didn't mind how they did it. I minded them billing it as a four-night crossover.
Uh-huh.
And then not doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't care. I don't think. Now, you might go back and listen to something from that around that time period, and maybe I was going, yeah, that was bullshit.
I don't know. I just didn't like how I didn't like... I felt like I'd had a bait and switch happen. And then they didn't learn from their lesson again, so they go back and do the Flash Supergirl musical crossover, and they did the same thing. And then everyone kind of shrugged their shoulders and went, "What? We told you that was bullshit. What are you doing?" Because remember, the Music Meister only shows up for like the first, last, you know... 30 yeah. seconds of Supergirl.
Yeah, I know.
But
it's okay. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. But then I'm not terribly like all about the crossovers anyway. I don't really like I enjoy them, but you know, I don't feel cheated.
I like them. I mean, and
in any kind of way.
I feel like we have about the amount I want. Like I don't want to do I like it. The mixture right now is like you maybe do a few characters crossing over for a couple episodes, mm-hmm. like maybe you know, Cisco's in Star City for a week or something like that. I love those little moments where they just have one guy, you know, on a different lot in Vancouver for a day and then we're back.
Uh-huh.
But these things are such a bitch to plan. I totally get why it was like... I even appreciate that they're committing to, like, you know, we've got these four shows, we're going to cross them over. It's a huge deal to plan. I mean, nightmare. Mm-hmm. Complete nightmare scenario. So I get that. I get not having more of them. I'm good with the mix we got.
Right. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the word jiped?
I don't think so. Like J-I-P-E-D? All right.
I don't. Well, it's... I was at the store,
mm-hmm.
and I overheard a kid, and he was like looking at something, and he didn't like the prices of it, and he was like, "Oh man, what a jipe! They're trying to jipe me."
Did he like see "jipped" written down somewhere and not heard?
That's what I think.
And is now going around mispronouncing it.
I think that's what's happening. Like I'm like, oh, it's a kid that's lived his entire life on the internet and has never actually heard of this word.
Right.
So he's just mispronounced. Okay. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure, and I had to ask because one is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of this kid being out there doing that.
He just kept saying it. He was like, "Oh man, they're jiping me."
All right, maybe it's just the new way people are doing that these days. They've decided to rework that word.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a random question for anyone who knows. Anyone who knows enough about civic policy. Is it supposed to be just like illegal or to have an intersection that doesn't have any stop signs? Because I feel like someone's supposed to be in trouble. But me and a fully loaded 53-foot semi, thankfully noticed the lack of stop sign at the same time. And like I was about to T-bone a big old car, or he was about to get me. I couldn't quite tell who was going to get who. But we were going like we're both going the same speed, not even paying attention, nothing in front of us to make us stop. And then like we both saw each other in time, stopped, and first looked at each other like, "What the hell, man?" And then we both looked for each other's stop sign, couldn't find it. And then we looked back at each other like, "What the hell? You know, you're trying to kill us out here."
I want to say I've heard of that. That it's like the same, that it's basically if you don't see any stop signs at a four-way stop, it is the same rule as if you have four stop signs, like whoever got there first gets to go first.
Okay, well...
You just take turns?
I don't know how that would work. I mean, I thought that was why they got the stop signs, was to, indicate
Yeah,
that.
But the stop signs don't help that. I've been in plenty of four-way stops with stop signs. Nobody knows what the hell they're doing.
No one does. There's always just it's just like four guys looking at each other, and then there's the one person who says, "Fuck this, y'all stay. I'm gonna go."
And then everybody goes at once.
Yeah.
And then slams on their brakes.
Yeah.
And it's a whole thing.
And then you stop and start with each other three or four times until one of you just like wild emotions, "Go, man, go!" Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just like to know if anyone happens to know if that's something that's. If there's a policy for this, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they're taking our tax dollars, you know, and not putting up stop signs at the four-way stop.
I'll tell you what, it's a great great deterrent for texting and driving, man. I mean, I was thinking, like, dude, if I'd gotten a text right then, I might have hit this guy.
Seems like a total jipe to me.
Right, right. We were jiped at least one stop sign.
I'm calling it. Let's I don't think it. I have anything.
Let's call it.
All right. Once again, if you've managed to make it this far and you'd like to interact with us a little more. Also, by the way, I wanted to say thanks to Dr. Steve who contacted us on Facebook, asked us if we were ever coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. We actually would have come back last week, but you were busy. You had to be out and about.
Yeah, I couldn't make it last week.
Which you know wound up being fine because I'm pretty sure like I've been sick for like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. like burning gums, burning tongue. Like it feels like my mouth has, which I don't. That has just stopped. But for like 3 weeks, I felt like I had like hot sauce and peppermint in my mouth constantly.
Yeah,
and that turned out to be sinusitis.
Yeah,
like some sort of, you know, terrible. And I'm still congested as crap. But so I probably sound a little weird this episode. But
right.
Yeah. Anyway,
and still we needed a couple weeks to kind of game plan.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really like desperately need that, but it wound up working out for the best, I think.
It just ended up being well timed, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, if you want to hit us up, connect with us, we would love for you to.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know,
Twitter.
That's part of the point here is we want to make it more like, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DC on Screen. You can catch up with me personally on Twitter at David C. Robertson. If you want to leave us a voicemail and be like Justin Miramon or the old Widder Woman, 205-259-6331. You know, I'm not gonna tell you not to be like the old Widder Woman.
It's up to you.
But there is only so much we can take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to have to develop anything called a Widder Woman policy.
Hold on. I have to know what that would entail.
I don't know. I don't want to really... I don't want that to be a part of my life, getting into that.
Oh, man. I'd love to know what that would be.
Well, we may have to find out. We'll see.
Okay. I rescind my prior statement. Please...
Please...
Be as ridiculous and creative as you want with the voicemail system. I would, in fact, love for Jason to have to concoct a Widder Woman policy.
You just want to see the memo sent over in your... Just open a memo. Memorandum, Widder Woman policy.
Paragraph 3, Article 2 of the Widder Woman policy clearly states...
I don't know what it would clearly state. I have no idea. If I ever have to do it, I'll try to keep it tweetable.
Yeah.
So you can let other people know what happened.
No more than 3 mentions of soiling oneself in any given voicemail. Mm-hmm. I would think the first rule would be sentences and voicemails must be legible. Like, they have to be coherent.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, 205-259-6331 for the voicemail. We hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. Let us know what you thought of the new format. If you decide, and I, you know, this is going to be weird for me to ask, but if you decide to not listen to us anymore because we're not quite as comprehensive as we once were or something, at least... Drop me a message. Drop us a line somewhere along the line. DCOnScreen@gmail.com. You can do that too.
Yeah. No hard feelings.
Yeah. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that and why you would choose to do that. Or
to
not,
us.
You know. Yeah. Like, why would you choose to do that to us? No, I mean, you know, I think I'd like the chance to apologize to you one on one in some capacity. Because it was a really hard decision to make to change things up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not taken lightly.
Anyway, we'll be back next week. We love you guys. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.